Welcome to the Bible study on this Thursday, April the 3rd, 2014. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer. We welcome in our guest today, a regular on the program, Pastor Curtis Dieterding of Trinity Lutheran Church, Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Welcome back to the Bible study, Curtis.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
What's your weather doing up there?
Oh, we're in that time of the year when the snows come very heavy and they come very wet, so they don't last as long now. So we did actually have it all melted off at one point, just patchy here and there, and now we got hit with about another 6-7 inches the other day, but it, like I said, it's wet, so it dried off, and then we had another inch last night, and it's snowing right now. So that's kind of the pattern, though, during April. We just get these heavier wet snows. I actually have to say, though, that the ice is not off of the lakes yet. People are still ice fishing up here. So.
Wow. Yeah, it's you're always a little bit behind us. I can remember that as you go north, that it's just not as even the people in Michigan are not yet as far as we are. And we thought we were behind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So let's introduce everybody to the phone number so they can participate with us today, Curtis.
Okay.
314-821-0850 in the St. Louis listening area, or if you have that coveted unlimited long-distance plan, or toll-free North America, 800-730-2727. Email kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to be studying with Pastor Dieterding 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. Curtis, why don't you do the right thing and ask the Lord to bless us in this time in His Word?
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we come before You this day and as we study again Your Word, we pray that You would give us an extra portion of Your Holy Spirit to understand that Word, to continue to grow in that Word, that we might always increase in our faith that receives the wonderful gifts of the grace and the mercy that You give to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we look at Your Word this day, we pray that You would bless us in understanding what it means to be a member in the body of Christ, the church. Help us to understand just how all of us play an important role in being a part of this body of Christ into which Christ is the head. We ask that You would continue to bless us in our study of this Word, that we truly may continue to grow in the active life of the church that You have given to us, the communion of saints. Bless us all in the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Curtis. The book of 1 Corinthians, at the very outset, the Apostle Paul talks about the God, truly God-pleasing desire of unity among His people, among His church, that we would be of one mind and all that entails. And he continues to talk to the church in Corinth and to the church today about that oneness, that resisting factionalism, schisms, and all the rest. He started talking that way again here in chapter 12 with spiritual gifts, and now he kind of broadens it out a little, if you will, back into a oneness here with a body image. Why is this oneness so important to the Lord, and it should be to us His people, Curtis?
You know, I was very blessed to be a part of a tour that we had last year. In November, I was able to go on a tour in the Mediterranean, and one of the cities that we visited was ancient Corinth. And I tell you, I really have a very much so a deeper respect for the situation that Paul was up against. I mean, when you're looking at these temples of, you know, false gods, how pagan worship and the cult and all that were alive there in that city. And, you know, here he is bringing another message among all the other philosophers that are there, among all the other people and all the other ways in which people think and believe and trust in. And, you know, along comes Paul. I'll tell you, it would be very important for all of those who came to faith in Christ Jesus through that word of God, through his mouth, to be one, because they had to actually continue to stay together to, you know, not be led astray. It would be so easy in Corinth, just as it is even in our world today. But, I mean, even there were some dynamics there where it was just new, brand new. They did not have the word that we have right now. They didn't have this letter because they were part of what was going on. And so that oneness, I can really see, would have been a very valued asset for the Christian church there in Corinth at that time, and to understand what it means to be one in Christ Jesus. That was so important for the people, just to continue to be a witness to one another and growing in that faith, and especially when Paul leaves, you know, and then he writes a letter back to them again, and continues to help not just the church in Corinth, but churches throughout all of the Mediterranean where he traveled, to understand the importance of oneness. I mean, he says this to the Philippians, he says this in other places in his letters. This is an important aspect, again, that the Christian church really needed, especially as they were getting started as a young church.
And there in Corinth, as I understand it, on the isthmus, the peninsula that it geographically is located on, it would have been a great go-between between Italy and the rest of the Mediterranean, right? And is famous for its athletic games there. So really kind of a crossroads, if you will, of a lot of different cultures meeting in that place. And so a prolific amount of different spiritual matters going on there. And I can see a person living there, a lot of confusion.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was confusing enough, you know, and then Paul has to enter that kind of an environment to bring yet another teaching for Corinth, because it was new to them, and to have people actually embrace it, you just know it's the power of the Holy Spirit at work that brought these people to believe and to understand what it is that Paul was bringing to them.
Well, let's just read a little bit and then try to unload it and apply it to our time. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For we in one spirit, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Wow. So how many times? He says one over and over there.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You know, the emphasis on being one is very, very important to understand what makes us one. And, you know, I really believe that the people then, and it's really unlike some of the Christian churches and what they're teaching today, really is not dependent upon what we do. You know, there's such an emphasis here, again, on the fact that this one body is in Christ. And it's a body that's together because of one spirit. You know, that this work that has occurred in their lives to bring them together in this church, this unity, is all God's work.
And that so much connects with the text right before us, the first 11 verses.
Absolutely.
Of this chapter, that it emphasizes that the Spirit wants to really point us always to Christ, and to make us one in Christ. So this individualism that was so rampant in our time, I think, is kind of out in this picture of the body of Jesus Christ.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, I as you're mentioning that, you know, I'm looking back again at verse 3, and there's an example of what I believe Paul was up against. You know, he says, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord." Believe me, I know that he would have heard that Jesus is accursed from the mouths of the people there in Corinth, thinking he's bringing in some, you know, wacky teaching and understanding of someone that they don't understand, because they don't see themselves as sinful. They don't accept the word. They don't believe that, you know, that in the words of what he's telling about this man Jesus, that he's a God, that he's also divine. They believed that about other men, and they believed that about their mythical gods. And so there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of necessity for the people that once they came to faith in Christ to be one in this body.
Yeah, kind of the context there, and I like what you were speaking about that he says that they were truly uninformed about spiritual gifts. That he takes them back, said, when you were pagans, what a sentence and a thing to call them. You were led astray to mute idols. And he doesn't care how they were led.
That's right.
Mute idols. And you think about that. So the idolatry comes not from a stone statue or a metal, a precious metal even, depiction or a holy site of ground. It comes from the living word of God himself.
Right.
And we talked about that, Curtis. You know, looking at the original Hebrew in Genesis, when it talks about God speaking, that's easily the word for wind and breathing.
Absolutely.
And where we get in the New Testament this brilliant statement that all Scripture is inspired, or better translated, God breathes. So this breathing out of God, what he wants us to know about the true things that we make us one is through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he says here, as you were referring, is that earliest creed, Jesus is Lord. So he wants us to revolve all our oneness, does he not, around that?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you're talking there again about pagans and mute idols, how Paul uses this kind of language. I mean, it just shows you the historical context, the reality of the situation of where they were at that time. And so to be together and unified in the same confession, as you're saying, you know, because that is exactly what this is. You know, Jesus is Lord. And to say Lord, of course, look what that carries with it. It's the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who gives us new life. All of it is there in that word Lord. And so this is an acknowledgement that this Jesus is the Lord and God of all things and of all people. And so this is very important for them to grow in that. You got to remember too, they're new to the faith, you know. And how many people were there every single time that Paul spoke? So they would have to share with families and friends who might not have been gathered at certain points when Paul was speaking, you know, to actually share what he was saying. So, you know, to think of all of that a lot of it was oral, you know, just being shared, and trying to learn this. Just, this is new. This is not like you and me growing up and learning this a little at a time and growing into this faith. This is a new faith and a new life, and they were pagans. They were idol worshiping before this.
You know,
this is brand new for them.
Then on top of that, Curtis, Paul always had this amazing situation where he would start these churches in the right teaching, the right doctrine, the oneness, and then he would depart to go redo it, or, you know, in the case he's in chains in Rome, and he gets reports back that other pastors had went into those same congregations what he started, and they challenged what Paul said. Sometimes, like with the Galatians, not saying, hey, Paul's all wrong, but Paul didn't give you enough, you know?
Right.
Take what Paul did and add this, and there are times we get, subtract this. And so, you know, these people, as you say, they're young, and then they have to figure out, who's really telling me the truth here?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And so Paul, is it fair to say that Paul comes back in these letters, and he's really saying, no, I never really taught you that. You know, and kind of tongue in cheek, he goes through these letters to the Corinth church and says,
right,
hey, I'm just a lowly apostle. These guys are super apostles. And then he starts to mock them and make fun of them.
Right. Well, there are actually points where he's talking to them, and he's basically saying that he didn't say some of the things that they're claiming he said, because it's caused controversy,
mm-hmm.
depending on what it is within the letters. So, I mean, he does do that sometimes. You know what I'm reminded of, though, even in my own personal experience, and this is why I think this is so incredible that the people were learning from Paul and then sharing it orally. And this is what I think about. I know there's been situations in my own ministry where there are ways in which we are discussing maybe a topic where we don't all agree on it. Okay, and then I go on vacation. And when I come back, there is a bigger mess and a bigger division among the people because I wasn't there, the one who is mostly informed, because I am at every meeting, I am at every, you know, in every conversation, and so I do know bits and pieces of what others may not know. And then all of a sudden there's rumors started, there's sides being taken, and by the time I get back to from vacation, you know, all of a sudden there's this mess. So I think that's the way Paul, it probably happened with Paul. Paul's got all the information. He's got all of what God wants us to know through the power of the Holy Spirit and how this church is going to grow. And then, you know, he's going to teach them so much, and then he's got to move on to the next place. And I'm sure this is a fear over and over for him as well. Like, oh, you know, I know that they heard me. I'm not sure how much they got. And I'm probably going to end up needing to write a letter. And he does. He ends up writing these letters. He knew that this was going to need to happen, and that the Holy Spirit, truly, it was inspiring him to write those words so that we had the very word of God given to us as this new church grew.
We'd love to have you join Pastor Dieterding and myself. 314-821-0850, 800-730-2727. And KFUO at KFUO.org. Curtis, in verse 13, he says some profound things here. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. I was thinking you can almost do the Galatians 3 thing too here, male and female, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. What is he emphasizing with that verse?
You know, when he's talking about the Spirit to them, he is talking about the one who is actually helping them to come to faith, to know Christ, to continue to grow in the grace that God has given them. He's talking about really kind of using the idea of, you know, growing in the sense of being watered, I guess, in one sense, but that we were all made to drink of the one Spirit, to really get that into our lives, into not just our body and our spirit and our soul, but, I mean, really to grow in that grace, in that oneness that we have. And it doesn't matter who you are. It's for everyone, and that's the emphasis here. It's for all people. And this emphasis of Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, male, female, whoever you want, you know, whoever you are, this spirit that we have is the same spirit. And it's the same spirit by which we grow. And so I love how he uses the idea or the illustration of a physical body to now demonstrate how we are members in that body, because that's what's coming up, and it's just beautiful. This is one of my favorite books as far as understanding the church.
Yeah, it's a picture, a word picture, excuse me, that we all... that we all can relate to of a body, because within each one of our bodies, anything outside of that is not really me. And so I know that all of these members that consist of my body, they are me, and we are one. And so I honor parts of my body, even toenails, fingernails, things like that, as useful and very, very prominent. And so...
And if you don't respect your toenails and your fingernails, you can get a cuticle infection that can really hurt. You know,
you know that happened to my wife, and she had a fungus infection, and she had to have surgery. So that's where I was going to go. Within that body, then sometimes there are foreign elements that try to come in and be a part of that, and we know in our bodies, no, they're not. They're invaders. And so I think Paul faces that, does he not? I was reminiscing that we had a show the other day where a listener called in and was talking to one of our hosts, and they got to discussing, I think arguing in the best sense of that, not yelling and screaming at each other, but just saying different things. And our host kept saying, you know, where do you find that in Scripture?
That's right.
And the caller could not identify where that was in Scripture. And is that not critical to what Paul is telling us here?
Right, because the oneness of the Spirit, part of that is the giving of the Word, and the giving of the Word of God that we believe is, you know, very foundational for what it is we believe. We don't just believe in our own personal ideas, thoughts, rationale. We need to base whatever it is that we're confessing together as what we have received from the Spirit. And what we've received from the Spirit is this very Word of God that gives us an understanding together. And, you know, sometimes we get in the way by rationalizing and reasoning it on our own and interpreting the Scripture without using the Scripture to interpret itself. And sometimes when there's not an answer that's there, we like to fill it in.
We like to
just fill it in and step on the other side of the line and start giving answers that only God knows.
And I love that you brought this up. Thank you for that, Curtis, because I think if more of the time we would, give people some, essential basics of interpretation, like the one you just said, let Scripture interpret Scripture, especially in the more difficult things, and to not take something in Scripture out of its context. And there are some others, just great things. And they kind of keep us on the straight and narrow. And would you not say it's kind of difficult to follow those? It's not easy. I mean, it's kind of easy to just, hey, go with the flow and see whatever you want in there.
Well, you know, our nature, our sinful nature, continues to battle against this. You know, when I visit sometimes those within the church, especially who have been members of this body and have now made a decision that, you know, I'd go to church, but, I'm doing just fine on my own. I watch these evangelists on TV. I read my Bible. I have my own devotions. I really don't need to be part of the church because they pretty much have designed their own religion, their own religious beliefs, and they're settled on whatever it is that they come up with in their own mind. What's disconcerting about that is that that's not how God has called us to exist within this new life, this new creation, this body that He's created, which Christ is the head of, but actually wants us to continue to work toward that oneness. Even when He was talking to the Ephesians, in chapter 4, you were all called to work with one another, to bear with one another, to continue to work together in the bond of peace, in the Spirit. And again, He emphasizes the oneness there, too, in that chapter.
Curtis, we have a caller, so let's field his question, and okay, we might even then have to talk about it more on the other side. Mike, listening in St. Louis, welcome to the Bible study today.
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Mike.
We're doing well. Mike, how about you? Did you weather the storm okay this morning?
Oh, yeah. I mean, rain puts me to sleep.
But my wife said you got to get up and go to work.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. What's your question or comment for Pastor DJ today, Mike?
Before I asked it, I was listening to what you're saying about Scripture, interpreting Scripture. And the first time I ever heard it, I read that in a book. This guy named William Miller was the guy who said that. And he predicted the world would end in October 1843, and then he later changed his prediction to October 1844. Of course, we know it didn't happen. But that's the first time I ever heard somebody say, use Scripture to interpret Scripture. But my question is that you were talking about Corinthians where, you were quoting that passage where we are all one Spirit, one baptism and all this. And to me, when I first read something like that, it was very confusing to me. But if I substitute the word, say, theology, where Spirit is, it makes a lot more sense to me. What do you think of that?
Good question. Pastor, want to start with that?
Yeah, well, theology in the generic sense is not helpful to just anybody who's reading the Scripture. Maybe for you it might be, because maybe your theology in your mind and your rationale and your reasoning is that you're seeing theology as the truth.
Let's hear more of your answer on the other side, Curtis. So
sure.
Keep your thought there, and we'll come right back to it after these messages here on Worldwide KFUO.
Looking for a career with a Fortune 500 organization where you can bring your values to work? Look no further than Thrivent Financial, a faith-based membership financial services organization. helping members be wise with money and inspiring them to live generously. As a not-for-profit organization, we give back millions of dollars to the causes our members care about. At Thrivent, you'll find a meaningful career making a difference for others and your community. To learn more about our financial representative opportunities, visit thrivent.com.
Then what is it? An ark. To hold the innocent when the Creator sends his deluge to wipe out the wicked from this world.
Live Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review the movie Noah.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Facebook is a great way to keep up with programming and get a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the broadcast day of KFUO Radio. This is where you'll find the inside scoop on programming and show links, photos, videos, and get details of upcoming events. And it's the place where you can connect with us and other listeners. And it's just so easy. Go to Facebook on your computer or smart device, put KFUO into the search box, select our page, and like us today. And oh yes, it's totally free. So what are you waiting for?
Hey, Craig D'Onofrio here for Reformation Rush Hour. Join me on the next program as we talk with Kevin Hildebrand about a new choral called Man of Sorrows. We'll also talk about hymns for Lent and Easter and all sorts of other good musical things. And of course, since it's Thursday, we'll be joined with our regular co-host for Thursdays, Pastor Mark Sell. So be sure to listen 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.
Welcome back to the Bible study. Rod Zwanisir, your host today, enjoying my chat with Pastor Curtis Dieterding, Trinity City Lutheran Church, Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Curtis, you were answering a question from Mike about can we substitute and have the truth still come out in this text where we see like baptized in one spirit? Can we just put four in one theology? And you were answering that.
Right, and again, you know, I just mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of different understandings, of course, of what constitutes theology. You know, I would say more that you could substitute the word truth, you know, that God's word of truth. It's a spirit of truth that we're talking about here, because that's what we're trying to get to, is the truth for us. Because if we continue to grow together in that truth, we will truly, certainly be blessed. Again, knowing all the gifts that God gives to us in Christ Jesus, because that's what the Spirit does reveal to us. So, yeah, for me, that might be a little too generic.
Yeah.
I would still want to continue to say Spirit and truth. Really.
What do you think of this, Curtis? I remember early on in my seminary career, we had to read a book. Everybody's a theologian.
Yes.
But then the guy said, many are not that good. And so, you know, we say everybody, theos is the Greek word for God. So everybody
right.
has a view of God, even if you think there is no God. But you were saying we need to have the true theology, the theology of the Holy Spirit, which really wants to point us to the real, pure gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right. So not all theology, which really literally translated, as you said, is a study of God, you know, that doesn't mean that every study of God actually contains truth. I mean, there's a lot of false interpretation as well. So
yeah, you could use, you know, John's good admonition, test the spirits, test the theologies.
Right.
And you test those against the Word of God because we know they are God-breathed, don't we?
Right. Because there's good theology and there's bad theology.
Right. Let's jump on. We got a lot of really good text to kind of build up what we've been saying. Verse 14 down through 19. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. I can't remember who it was, Curtis. Maybe you've seen this, where it says, you can't be like just me and a Jesus thing, as some people want to do. And that would be like a brain, a head, with a finger stitched onto it. It would look kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it?
That would be weird.
Yeah. So what sticks out in that set of verses, Curtis?
Well, what sticks out is the fact that, Paul is mentioning, and that's why I like this illustration, he's mentioning different parts of the body. And when the people are hearing that, they're realizing, it's the ear, does the hearing, the nose does the smelling, the eyeball does the seeing, a hand is the thing that does the reaching and holding and grabbing, so that would say to the people right away that there are different functions, different gifts, really, of the kinds of work that each of us does within this body, and that everyone is important. God put everyone where they are in that body, just like he chose, to accomplish his tasks, his work among those people that are together.
As an illustration today, some people would accuse some of us pastors of saying the only ones that are really the body of Christ are the priests, the pastors.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, when you look at this, it does not single out pastors, it doesn't single out leaders. It's talking about all the Greeks, the slaves, the free, all of those who have been made one in the Spirit. So it's very clear that this is talking about the entire body, not just those who have been called to positions to shepherd or to minister, over certain ministries within the church.
How do we, as this body, Curtis, help every single member with different varieties of gifts, different variety of experiences in that, feel like they're part of this one body of Christ?
Well, first of all, there needs to be a continual encouragement, first and foremost, to be together in the Word, in worship, in growing in the grace of God, to understand what he's talking about here. Just like the caller who just called in just a moment ago, when you first read some of the Bible, if you, especially I would think for those who are new to the Scripture, a lot of this would be foreign because this is not familiar. But you get to a point like this, and it's first important to grow together spiritually and constantly be in the Word together so you can understand how God wants you to use your gifts and your abilities together in this church.
What is that in being together in the Word that makes us so one in Christ?
Because we're going to be growing together in the understanding of who God is, what our relationship is with him. Everything that God wants us to know, he has given to us in this Word. And so we believe that together, if we grow together in this Word and understand it together in this Word, and what he's saying to us, interpreting it, using his Word, then we can continue to grow in the blessings that he has to use each and every one of us in special ways, because we're not all gifted the same way. And I'm talking about when it comes to the actual good work that is produced as a result of this faith, and to understand how that all works together. I know people constantly are saying, I don't have a lot of gifts to give to the church. Well, then let's continue to grow in God's grace through the study of his Word, and his Spirit will continue to lead you to know how you link in and what you can offer to the rest of the body.
You know what I've often thought? I was thinking about this yesterday, not in regard to this Bible study text, but I know that one of my gifts from God is to be an encourager, that I can see people with other magnificent gifts that I might even, I have to say, kind of covet for every now and then. But I can encourage them. For instance, I love music. I'm not that good at it. So somebody that's really good instrumentally or vocally, I love that. And I tell them that. I love sharing your gift. And you were saying something so important, Pastor Dieter Ding. If I would stay away from the church assembling as a body, I wouldn't get all those gifts. gifts that people have of stewardship, gifts of hospitality, gifts of music, gifts of wisdom, gifts of learning how to be good friends and supporters of each other, of caring in you know moments that. And we know that God's puts those kind of people around us in the body, and it's magnificent, isn't it? And we only get I like what you said, when we come together, and you were talking too about when we come together, the Spirit kind of shows us all this.
Right. I mean, how can we even know how we can be a part of the church if we're not there?
Yeah.
And when people aren't here who have embraced this confession together with us, we know that there is some hurt and some pain and some unhealthy situations that are going to occur. You know, the temptation is going to be stronger being away from the church, being away from the Word, and there's really, you know, I mean, how do you continue to grow in the helping of your neighbor, in the loving of your neighbor, in the loving of God and what He wants us to do, if we're not there learning it together?
Yeah, if we're not there to learn the same things so we can be one, how could we ever be together? Good analogy. We've got a caller, Curtis. Bob, listening in DeSoto, Texas. Welcome to the Bible study today, Bob.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Curtis Dietering. How are you doing? You had a good trip to Corinth and after our trip to Israel, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been just absolutely super blessed. I've been given the opportunity on two occasions now to be over in the Holy Land and Paul walk.
Yep.
It's just been awesome.
Well, that's great. My comment is really about something I was reading this morning. There's a professor of some religious in a small college who was saying that he has been asked to do the first course for this college in of all the Bible. He's got the whole thing. He's got and so he's asking the question, why is it that the Hebrew Bible and you know now the New Testament, why was that preserved through all these centuries? The Mesopotamians and all these other cultures had stories, but none of them was preserved in any fashion, any semblance of order. It was all myth, is because it was mythological. And to me, the clear answer to that is God was the one who was preserving, and I think that really speaks a lot to us. When we stop and think about the fact that of all these different stories that we hear bits and fragments of, God has preserved His Word through many centuries to bring it down to us.
Wow, that's a great observation. Thanks for that, Bob, and thanks for listening. Pastor, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'm sure Bob is reflecting on our trip over to Israel because you know, along the way we got to see how the different groups of you know, Jewish sects had actually you know, like the Essenes and so forth, how they actually meticulously kept fervent track of every dot, every letter, you know, looking it over, editing it, making sure it was done, and that was done down through the ages, and so as far back as we would go, we would find that to be true. And it is this very word. I mean, how else would we be assured, even in today's world? I mean, that's an assurance to us, even today, and God knew that as He moved the prophets of old to write these things down, rather it was somebody was editing it for them, or you know, I don't mean editing, but actually writing or scripting it for them as they talked. But they, as they were moved by the Spirit, you know, they wrote this down. Especially when you think of like the first five books of Moses and all of what had to have been written down about these events perfectly. I mean, to really give us the exact detail and what was most necessary for us to know to be in a relationship with our Lord, and then to trust and have faith in Him about all the other questions that are always going to surround that, But this is the most important. These words are the most important to develop and to give us what we need to have a relationship with him.
Add to that all the attempts over history to try to wipe out that word of God handed down so meticulously and carefully, as you're saying. So it's part of the witness of the word of God being preserved through all this time, as God says it would be. Let's just hear the rest of the text in case we run out of time, and then we can talk about it. Let's pick it up at verse 21 and go to the end, and then we'll come back. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our most presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Wow. So kind of wraps it up with desire the higher gifts. What is he talking about here, Curtis?
Well, when he's talking about that, he's talking about like gifts that would edify us, that would actually continue to help us to grow in our faith and grow in the grace that God gives us. Anything that would, show us the salvation that God has for us in Christ Jesus, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of these that were just listed, all of these gifts that were just listed here at the end, were ways, and some of those mostly in the early church, by which God would actually edify people through those works. But that doesn't mean that everybody has those gifts either, but we can surely desire those higher gifts and pray that the Lord would use us in such a way as to honor him, because all honor and glory and praise belongs to him.
Sure. And by earnestly desiring, we are acknowledging that these are the most important. And so what we have in our time is a case where we see people taking the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and they're not the most important, and try to elevate them to not only be the most important, but everybody should have them. And this text speaks against both of that.
Right. I mean, there are definitely church bodies that actually teach that there are these higher gifts which they have identified, and that every member in the church needs to strive for those higher gifts. And that's not exactly what Paul is talking about here at all, and that's really been a challenge within the church. You know, how can we identify gifts, and just, you know, how can people link into the church and really discover which gifts they have first of all? And there are lists of gifts of the Spirit that Paul does list throughout his letters, and so we do have foundational gifts that we grow from, you know, like patience, understanding, kindness, gentleness, love, all of the different ones that he lists. But at the same time, you know, there is nothing that's really specific. Like, here are gifts that would fall under understanding, and then there's a list for you. I know that these lists have actually been developed, you know, within the church. Different people have made and created different lists, and maybe that's not a bad way to go about at least having the Spirit help us to discover just what gifts we have that we can use within the church. But there are gifts that are specifically meant to edify us in the faith, to build us up, and some of the people will have those. And, of course, you know, we are called and commissioned by Jesus to actually share and, you know, all of what we have learned, what we have been taught, with those around us, so that they too might know and gain the knowledge and the wisdom that they might have faith in Jesus Christ, that he is their Lord and Savior as well. So that's a commission for all of us. That's a higher gift all of us need to continue to work toward, and that is the sharing of the gospel.
Amen.
But it can be done in a lot of different ways, too.
Amen. Let's go to Cheryl, who's been patiently waiting to come on today, listening in Indianapolis. Welcome into the Bible study today, Cheryl.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment on verse 25, that the members have the same care for one another. And I was thinking the old folks, like my mom, she's 96, she's in assisted living, and they tend to get marginalized. They're not able to come together with us. And I was asking her, you know, how do you know that you will be in heaven with Jesus? And she said, because Jesus told me. And I said, well, how did Jesus tell you? And she said, because when she was baptized, that means I belong to Jesus. And she was baptized as an infant. So, and then she was so happy when the pastor came, and there were eight of them there at the Altenheim, and he celebrated the Lord's Supper with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had a little church there, didn't they?
Yes, and it was oh wow! Finally, I've been here for a couple of months, and I haven't been able to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and this is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And all the members, we care for all the members, even when they're not able to come together with us. So
very good. Very good, Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the comment, Pastor Dieterding.
And what a powerful witness that her mother had for her as well. I mean, just both of us. You know, when we sit there and we confess our faith together that Jesus is Lord, and we do that through a creed, either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we are a witness to one another of what it is we believe. And it's, you know, what a powerful witness about, you know, how do you know you're part of the body of Christ? Well, you've been baptized. You have the one Spirit. We have the gifts that God has given us, especially Christ's very presence in the bread and wine there in this holy meal, in his body and blood. And so, you know, what a powerful witness that we can be to one another when we're together.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do that if we're apart.
You know, what I used to tell people, if you can't come to the body of Christ anymore, we'll bring the body of Christ to you. Even if it's just the pastor representing all the other members, which I know you do, Curtis. And I always would tell my people that. I'm bringing really the prayers and what I spoke in the collective thing to them. I'm bringing it to you today. And that's a joy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The body is provided. Pastors and others to go out and do that. And so if you're out there in the body, that's one of the things you can do, is ask your pastor, for some shut-ins and so forth that can't get to the gathering of the body anymore, and go out to them, because they love it, don't they, Pastor?
You bet. Absolutely. And, you know, even when we're out and about as pastors, or maybe elders that have been appointed by the church to, you know, share the body and blood of Christ with those who are members of our church. You know, when you get out there and you share that, you know, I'm always trying to remind them that you're not just taking this isolated apart from the body. You are taking this with the body of Christ. This is what your brothers and sisters continue to confess. This is what we continue to believe concerning this meal, and that can be easy to lose sight of if it just becomes rote. You know,
yes.
And we need to continue to be reminded that we are one in the Spirit in this body of Christ.
Back to something you really said pivotal before, Curtis, about this coming together as the body of Christ to have the Word of God put into our ears, have His body and blood put into our mouths and into our very bodies. That's where we get this motivation to do all these things and care for each other, isn't it? I mean, I'm thinking of, 1 Corinthians 10, where he talks about that, do not have the habit of some of not assembling together, but we do assemble together to keep the confession the same, to motivate each other to do good deeds, especially as we see the last day coming even quicker and quicker.
Right, and we're there, you know, to encourage one another in the faith, you know. So it's very important that we understand that, you know, for, you know, as often as you eat and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It is a constant witness, a constant building up, even within the body of Christ. And this is not our own thoughts. This is not our own understanding of God and who he is. This comes to us through that Spirit who makes us one.
And isn't it so marvelous, and I think you were talking about this previously, so marvelous and uplifting. Use the word edifying, which is a great biblical word. It is edifying when you're in the body of Christ and they're one and they love all the members in Jesus, in this one Spirit.
That is right. And you know, the only way that we're going to know how we connect in with the body of Christ, and I can't emphasize it enough, is we need to be there. We need to be there, not isolating ourselves, creating our own little religious world or spirituality. We need to be where the Spirit is working together in the oneness of Word and the sacraments to continue to help us to grow in our life together in Christ Jesus.
He can't keep that oneness when we're not coming around his body, his church.
Right. And I tell you, if you leave this Bible study today and not know that, then you mustn't have been listening to the entire show.
We have hammered that home, haven't we? Thanks
right.
to you.
We're
yeah.
trying to hammer this home.
Yes.
And I pray that you know, maybe even some of the people who are on the books here at Trinity will be hearing this as well. We need to understand the importance of the fact that God is telling us that. I'm not just blowing hot air toward people to say, well, we'd really like to have you together with us at church because I think it'd be hunky-dory. That's not what God is saying. He's saying we need and must be together here in this place in order to grow in our oneness together.
You know, you see it in another way, Curtis, of if you have family members that do not really want to be a part of the family. When there's family functions, they'll say, I'll go with some other families of my friends. And so
right.
you get this feeling from those that they really don't like this family. And that's the way with God's family too, is it not? That there are some people that even detest being a part of God's family. And I think God might break them down a little bit if they came around his church a little bit more.
Right.
But let him have another chance.
No, that's very true. You know, I think Paul kind of summarized the need to really be interested in each other and to really work together. I'm going to skip forward here in the scripture. I'm sure you're going to hit these words again, but I think it summarizes what we were doing, what we're saying, and what we're talking about. I think he really emphasizes that need of participating together, of being of the same mind, and so forth. And that's Philippians chapter 2, and I'd just like to share those few verses there at the beginning.
Go for it.
So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy of being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.
There you go. Curtis, we're out of time. But I have loved being one with you today, dear brother, pastor there at Trinity Lutheran Church, Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Thank you so much.
You bet. It's a joy.
God's richest blessings on your Lent and celebration of our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection. Talk to you again soon.
To you as well. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. We'll talk with you tomorrow on the Bible study.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.